The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor teacher, Harry Reeder.
You'll take your copies of God's Word and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, just some thoughts from God's Word. Remember, we partake of Christ by faith. The elements don't change to Christ, but we spiritually feast upon His real presence by faith. Well, faith comes from hearing the Word. Therefore, God's Word always guides us into the celebration and observance of the Lord's Supper. Tonight, I'd like to use this passage of the institution. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say 1 Corinthians 11. I meant to say 1 Corinthians 11. I said 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, you get a chance to turn there on Sunday. But right now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. Would you look there with me in 1 Corinthians 11? And I'm going to pick up reading at verse 17. Just think of this. Just about less than 30 years after the ascension of Jesus, the Lord's Supper is being celebrated in Europe. But they've got some problems. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to set them some things in order so that they can properly observe the Lord's Supper as the Lord designed it, as an asset, as a means of grace in their life. So this is what he says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Now, I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. But when you come together, it's not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One gets hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? So what shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, in the same way also, he then took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Now let a man examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, truly we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. So here we are, Maundy Thursday, celebrating the initial institution of the Lord's Supper by our Savior as he gathered his disciples at the tables. And so we will have communion at the tables. This was very common in Presbyterian churches up till about 150, 200 years ago. They would build the churches with large aisles in the middle in order to put the tables. And then as the communion would go, people would leave their seats, their pews, and come to the table to celebrate. Now, we don't do this all the time, but we do it a couple of times a year as we come to the table. So elders will assist you and bring you down, and then a ruling elder and a teaching elder will be there to administer the Lord's Supper. This gives you time for reflection and meditation and praying for one another and praying for the mission of Christ's church. All the things that could be upon your heart during a time like this as we focus upon God's gracious gift of this table to us. Now, this also, many of you know, this is called Maundy Thursday. So it's like one good old Southern boy came to me one time. He said, "All right, Pastor, is it Maundy or Thursday? Which one is it?" And Maundy or Thursday. So don't holler out. Don't yell out. Of course, we're Presbyterians. That's not going to happen anyway. But so let me ask you a question. How many, just show with your hands, how many of you know what Maundy means? Can I see your hand? Okay. So there are 90% of you came here for Maundy Thursday, and you don't even know what Maundy is. Well, you'll know at the end of the sermon. I'll make a reference to it for you, because there is something very important of why that phrase is used, Maundy Thursday, in Holy Week communion. But you'll notice that this Lord's Supper, that the Apostle Paul is having to straighten out some things. In fact, it's very important. There are some under the loving discipline of the Lord have even been taken out by sickness and death because of a blaspheming or profaning of the Lord's Supper. That's why we always announce the Lord's Supper a week before. That's why we don't just tack it on to worship services. We build a whole worship service 10 times a year around the Lord's Supper, because the Bible tells us to do it often, but the Bible also says to do it in a manner worthy. In a manner worthy. And the Apostle Paul was more than concerned to communicate the Lord's displeasure with his people. Now, you don't lose your salvation, but they were bringing displeasure to the Lord and even coming under his redemptive discipline because of the misuse of the table, when in fact the table had been designed and instituted for the Lord for our good, yet they had turned it into the worse instead of the good. And everything revolves in his exhortation to come to the table in a manner worthy. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean any notion that you and I are ever worthy personally of the Lord's Supper or of our salvation. That's not what he means. Worthy is the Lamb, not us. The Lamb is worthy. No, but he doesn't say, "Come unto the table, all of you that are worthy." No, none of us are worthy. Only the Lamb is worthy. So that's not what he's saying. What is he saying? He is saying, come to the table in a manner worthy. It's like you and I are never worthy of our salvation, but we are to, according to Ephesians 4:1, we are to live in a manner worthy of our calling, to honor our calling. So we come to the table. Dependence upon God's grace is not manifested by carelessness in the Christian life. It's manifested by carefulness with reliance upon God's grace and strength, and no reliance upon the flesh. So what does it mean to come in a manner worthy? Well, like everything else in the Bible, you don't just take a text out and make it say what you want it to say, even if what you want it to say is a good thing for it to say. You want it to say what it means in the text. Clearly, they weren't coming in a manner worthy because they were coming in a manner unworthy. And we don't have to wonder about the unworthiness of their coming. In fact, the text tells you how they were profaning the Lord's Supper and coming in a manner unworthy. Go back with me to the text and look with me in 1 Corinthians 11, back to verses 20 and 21. Notice what he says. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. In other words, you say it's the Lord's Supper, but you have profaned it and so blasphemed it. I'm telling you, it's not the Lord's Supper. You've turned it into something else. Well, how did they do that? What kind of unworthy manner did they come in to do it? Well, he's very specific. He says, here's what you do. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry. Another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So now, just a little help here. when the early church, they traveled a long way when they would gather for worship. And so they had, now they didn't have potluck suppers. They were biblical. They had pot providence suppers is what they had. It wasn't potluck, it was pot providence. What had God ordained to bring to that supper through you? And so they would bring, and they would actually have an entire meal that they would conclude with the Lord's Supper. The Bible even calls it something. It's called the Agape Feast, the Feast of Love. And so they would come together for the feast to conclude it with the Lord's Supper, just the way Jesus did. They had a supper, and then Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the conclusion of it. And that's exactly what they were supposed to be doing, and that's what they enjoyed doing. But in this case, they would come, and the people with means would segregate themselves and make a big show out of who they were, what they had, and the lavishness of their food and their drink. Drink and so display it. Now, he's not just simply dealing with the sin of drunkenness. What he's dealing with directly is the fact that they were in the supper declaring null and void what God had created for the better, and they had made it for the worse, because when they came together, they did two things. The first thing they did, they despised God's church. They despise. That's what his words are. Your conduct is despising the church of God, whereby the family of God has gathered. You have despised God's church, and you have despised God's family. And the second thing he says that you've done with this self-promotion, this self-absorption, this self-aggrandizement, what you have done is you have not only despised the Lord's church, but you have also humiliated others. That's his words. And not only have you humiliated others, you have in particular humiliated those who have less than you. You have humiliated the poor. That's what you have done. So what would be coming in a manner worthy? Well, the first thing it would be is saying no to unworthiness. I am not going to come to the Lord's Supper with the carelessness of despising God's church. Now, he's not talking about the building where we meet. He's talking about the people assembled. That's the church. When you come together. Do you notice how many times he said that? The ecclesia, the gathering together. You have despised the assembly of God's people because you've made it all about yourself. So it's to say no to despising the church of God and holding God's gathered church and gathered assembly in solemnity and sacredness, certainly with rejoicing, but not with triviality and not with self-promotion. But the second thing is this: to come in a manner worthy is to come concerned about my brothers and not humiliating my brothers and sisters, but to come concerned about them. In other words, when you come in a manner worthy, you come, here's what he says in the text, you come examining yourself, not exalting yourself. And you come to encourage others, not to demean them, but to encourage them. And you come to exalt the Lord. You come to exalt him, not yourself. So you come examining yourself, cleaning out the leaven, the sin. You come encouraging one another, and you come to exalt the Lord. So how can we do this? Well, let me just give you three very practical statements that you might think about every time we come to the Lord's Supper. Practically, how can I say no to despising God's church and to humiliating others in the way I participate in the Lord's Supper? And how can I examine myself, encourage my brothers and sisters when I come to the gathering of God's people in the table of the Lord? And how can I exalt the Lord, not myself? How can I do that? Well, let me give you these three practical statements. Here's the first one. Those things become a part of our life that I just mentioned. We come in a manner worthy when we come with unreserved commitment and dependence upon Christ and surrender to Christ. When we come to the Lord's table, we come with unreserved dependence upon Christ, a commitment to be dependent upon Christ. The table is reminding us, you can't do it, but praise God, He did it. There is the body and blood of the Lord. Here is your hope. You come with absolute dependence upon Christ and an unreserved surrender to Christ. Now, let me tell you right up front, personally and pastorally, you and I have no idea of the things that we have not yet surrendered to Christ. And the rest of our life, God's going to start uncovering them for us. But we come committed to surrender. We come surrendered. We don't know all the implications of it yet. But we come surrendered. Lord, here I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. I surrender all to you. I know the rest of my life you're going to start showing me all of those alls. But I come surrendered. Here's the second thing. First is an unreserved commitment of absolute dependence upon Christ and surrender to Christ. The second one is this. An unreserved commitment to confess our sins, to repent of our sins, and to assassinate our sins. We examine ourselves. Our sins against the Lord. Our sins against each other. Will we humiliate one another by having aught against brothers and sisters? Will we humiliate one another by not confessing our sins to one another? Or will we humiliate one another by sinning and not giving forgiveness to one another? Short list in the family of God. Short list. We do not, must not, cannot humiliate one another. Well, how do we do that? Because we have an unreserved commitment to confess our sins against the Lord and against others. We desire to repent, to turn from those sins to the Lord. And we want to kill those sins so the next time we're back at the table, that one's dead. That one's dead. I wish I could tell you we get them all dead first time out of the chute. I've been killing some sins for 40-something years now. And they just somehow, it's kind of like that movie Terminator. I only saw the trailer of it, but all I saw, they kept slicing that Terminator to pieces and it kept coming back somehow. I said, boy, that's my sin. That's my sin. It keeps trying to come back. But that's why the Lord's Supper isn't done once and for all. It's done continually to assist us in our growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Thirdly and finally, we come with an unreserved commitment to not only an unreserved commitment to be dependent upon Christ and surrendered to Christ, an unreserved commitment to confess our sin, repent of our sin, and assassinate our sin, but we come with an unreserved commitment to build relationships that manifest the love of Christ. We will not humiliate one another. We will encourage one another. We will edify one another. We want uncluttered relationships. We want non-prejudiced relationships. We will not exalt ourselves by our pedigree, our positions, our posture, our achievements. None of those things. The foot at the foot of the cross, it's as level as it can be. And we will love one another. Now, there will be levels of intimacy in the body of Christ. But there is a commitment to no reservation, unreserved commitment to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maundy Thursday? Okay, Maundy is I spent a lot of money in my education. It's only moments like this I get to call on it a little bit. Maundy is a derivative of a Latin word called mandatum. Mandatum. Mandate. Does that sound familiar? What's a mandate? It's a commandment. Maundy Thursday was coming to the Lord's table with a commitment to remember one of the calls of this table that Jesus attached to his institution of the table. when he put the table in place, what did he say? A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. New? Wait, didn't the Old Testament tell us to love our neighbor and things like that? No. Here's what's new about it. You now have a foundation to love one another. It's Christ's love for you. And now you got a model for what it means to love one another. He laid down his life. Therefore, we lay down our lives for him and one another, considering one another more important than myself. Have this mind in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Well, my brothers, if there is any encouragement in Christ, love one another as Christ has loved us. There is our mandi, our mandatum, our commandment. The table tells you how much he loves you. Now do you see why Paul said you're profaning it? The table ought to be the place where you're telling one another, not I'm better than you, but I love you. A new commandment. But don't think you can come. Don't think you have to be perfect. Now, again, it's not you're worthy. It's coming in a manner worthy. I love Thomas Boston. Thomas Boston's an interesting guy. Guess where he pastored in England? Boston. And by the way, Thomas Boston not only pastored in Boston, England, he also pastored in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, that's a man with a planned out life by the sovereignty of God. He used to like to, at the end of Sunday evening services, go around and find out where his people were. He would put on a wig and go to the pubs to find out were they there if they weren't at the Lord's Supper. But it was Thomas Boston who came when he was administering the table and he saw a dear saint weeping with her hand up. And he said, are your sins unconfessed? She said, no, but I'm not worthy. He said, madam, you've come in a manner worthy. This table is for people like you, sinners saved by grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the moments that we could be together and come around this table and be encouraged in the administration of the table, the celebration of the table, the edification of the table, and the proclamation of the gospel from the table. So come and meet with us that we might rejoice in you. Oh, Jesus, Rock of Ages, your blood, your righteousness, our great foundation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.